Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. As you heard on an earlier program, maybe if you caught us, that the Lord laid on my heart around May the 1st, and actually 90 days prior to that, I felt like, you know, May the 1st, you know, some things were going to kick in, and I felt like, man, and I remember on May the 1st talking to you about, you know, that warning sign, that global understanding when we're in trouble that you got to call out and these little signals go out, you know, tapping it out like a Morse code and all. Mayday, mayday, mayday. That means you're in trouble and you need some help. For example, imagine an airliner that is struggling with being able to stay in the air, and they know that any moment they're going to start descending, and they'll send a signal out, and the signal, they would say, mayday, mayday. And then you knew the last words that you would hear before either the crash and survival or the crash and destruction of those passengers and those pilots with the word mayday. Everybody paid attention because they would hear the words mayday. Well, Anne Graham Lutz heard the very same thing. She is the daughter of Franklin Graham, the sister of Franklin Graham and the daughter of Billy Graham, and she's hearing the very same thing. Take a look at this.
Billy Graham's daughter is sounding the alarm, calling on America's church to cry out to God in prayer and repentance. Anne Graham Lutz says God is sending clear signs that his judgment is coming on America and the world. That's why she launched Mayday, a distress call for prayer. Since May 15th, she's been asking Christians worldwide to pray 1 hour a day for the church and America, focusing on praise and worship, confession and repentance, and spiritual warfare and intercession. The initiative goes through May 23rd, which is Pentecost Sunday. Anne Graham Lutz joins us now for more by Skype. Anne, thanks for being with us.
And Lori, thank you for inviting me.
Well, you taught a prophecy seminar earlier this year with author Joel Rosenberg that had a profound impact on you. Tell us about that.
You know, it did. We went through the book of Joel, so the first chapter and the first part of the second chapter, then Joel Rosenberg picked up the second chapter where I left off, and he did chapter 3. And those were new messages for me. I'd never given them that way, never spoken from Joel chapter 2. So I prepared them, and when I gave them to the audience at the Cove, we had a seminar that actually was the largest seminar that ever had. And I think people are very interested in what's going on from God's perspective. But when I walked off the platform after both teaching Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2, it was as though the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I knew I had said things I had not studied, I had not prepared, I had not pre-thought. And I knew God was speaking, and the message was very clear to me, and it was that the day of the Lord is near. That's the theme of the book of Joel, and the day of the Lord is a time of judgment. It's a time when God's patience runs out. It's a day of reckoning, and I felt that God was saying that the day of the Lord is near, and I felt specifically he was warning America. And so, I came away from that very sobered. And then I began to pray and ask God, what can I do? You know, what can we do? And of course, in Joel chapter 1 and 2 is very clear. When the message comes through and the day of the Lord is near, that we're to cry out, rend our hearts, which is a deep repentance. And maybe God, who is gracious, compassionate, loving, he does not want to judge us. He does not want to draw the line. And if we cry out and rend our hearts, then there's the possibility that instead of bringing judgment, he would leave behind a blessing. And so that's why, the thought for Mayday, Mayday, the distress call for prayer, was born in my heart, just out of my own prayer time, and just out of necessity. It's time to pray.
You say God's been sending warnings in the form of natural disasters, financial collapse, terrorism, and social crises, and other ways. Do you think the church is getting the message?
You know, Lori, I don't know. I believe I've gotten the message. And, one thing people say to me, and I've had pastors say this to me, that these things have always happened, and they get a little irritated with people like me that try to sound the alarm or blow the trumpet. But the difference is that what we're seeing today is increasing in frequency and increasing in intensity. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that when there's one generation that includes the gospel being preached to the whole world, includes the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and all the signs that he gives, he says are like birth pains. Mm-hmm. When I gave birth to my children. You know, our pain started maybe 5 minutes apart, then they went 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. As they increased in frequency, they increased in intensity until the end, I couldn't take it anymore, you know, but then the baby came. Mm-hmm. And so the birth pains, the signs that Jesus gives, whether it's in the environmental world or national world, the wars and rumors of wars, or the persecution of Christians, the persecution of Jews, when we see that ratcheting up, increasing in frequency and in intensity, in the same generation that sees the gospel being preached to the whole world and Israel reborn as a nation, that's the generation that's the last. I believe with deep conviction that it's my generation. I was born the same, just a week apart from the time when Israel was reborn as a nation. We're the same age. Mm-hmm. And I believe that in my lifetime, if I live out my lifetime, a natural lifetime, I believe I will live to see the return of Jesus in the rapture when he comes back to take us to be with himself, which means preceding that, there are going to be some signs, there are going to be some warnings. And like the Israelites in Egypt, you know, when God sent the 10 plagues on Egypt to force Pharaoh to let his children go, that Israelites went through the first three plagues themselves, mm-hmm. and they've been nuisance plagues, but they still came under some of the judgment that then they were spared from in the last seven plagues. So before Jesus comes back, he may allow the church to go through some judgment because it purifies us. You know, it just helps us get our priorities straight and increases our focus and also our compulsion, I think, to share the gospel with the people around us.
Well, the call to prayer began May 15th. Has God been speaking since then?
You know, for me personally, he's just confirmed that we're doing all we know to do. And I picked these dates, the 15th through the 23rd, because they're the days in between the ascension of Jesus and Pentecost on the church calendar. And biblically, if you remember, the disciples went into that upstairs room and they prayed for those 9 days. And one of the things I know they prayed for was that God would keep his promise and send down the Holy Spirit in fullness, which of course he did then on the Feast of Pentecost. And so I've just lifted these 9 days up out of the church calendar from the Ascension to the Feast of Pentecost and used them for the same purpose, that we would pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit, that we would pray for real revival to come to the church. Because, Lori, I don't think the answer is in Washington. I don't think it's in our economy. I don't think it's in our military. Only God can solve the problems we face today. And the world is not going to turn to God. It's up to God's people to stand in the gap. If God's people who are called by God's name will pray and humble themselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear our prayer, he'll forgive our sin, and God will bless America. But so I think the blessing on America is directly related to God's people getting their act together. Mm-hmm. So this May Day, distress call for prayer has that as its purpose, just crying out to God, you know, for ourselves, for our church, and for our nation, that he would spare us the judgment that I believe is coming.
Well, some people wonder, is it possible to stall God's judgment on America and the world?
Well, God says it is. And in Joel chapter 2, because judgment was coming, you know, we don't know if Joel prophesied in the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom, but we know the Assyrians in the end came and destroyed the northern kingdom. The Babylonians destroyed the southern kingdom. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem 70 AD. So the day of the Lord came, but God always warns before he judges. He never sneaks up and judges mm-hmm. you by surprise. He always warns. And with the warning is the implied hope that if we would rend our hearts, if we would truly you know, mourn for our sin, change our lives, put our focus back on him, put God first in our lives. If we would truly rend our hearts, then Joel chapter 2 says, who knows but that God is gracious and compassionate, that he would relent. He would be relieved not to bring judgment, and he would leave behind a blessing. But what we're seeing now, Lori, it's a Romans 1 judgment. You know, judgment isn't necessarily a nuclear strike or, you know, that electronic magnet impulse or, you know, ISIS popping up everywhere. Judgment is God backing away from us. When we tell God to get out, then God, who's a gentleman, I think it's coming down his cheeks, he gets out, and then he allows us to be subjected to things that he's been protecting us from for hundreds of years in this country. He has blessed us, he has protected us, and we have defied him. We're shaking our little dust fist in his face, and so he backs away. And in Romans 1, you know, every time he backs away, there's also the qualification if they didn't repent, and so he furthers the judgment. They didn't repent, he furthers the judgment. The implied truth is that if we would repent, if we would turn to him, he would stay his hand of judgment. And so my prayer for May Day is that as a result of our prayer, standing in the gap for our nation, that God would either delay his judgment or soften his judgment, or perhaps not judge us at all, but leave behind a blessing.
Well, can people still sign on to join you in the May Day prayer?
Yes, please. Tell them just to come to anngrahamlotz.org. We have a big banner there. They can click on it. It will give the directions. And we're not collecting email addresses. I'm not asking for money. If they click on it, then every day in their inbox, we'll send them a prayer that I've written just for this time. And they can go back and get the prayers that they've missed. So the first few days that they've missed, they can pick up those prayers. There's an audio version of the prayer. There's also a video clip that comes with it from those messages that I gave at the Cove on the Book of Joel. And so the whole thing is geared to bring people into the presence of God and to really not only intercede for our nation, intercede for the church, intercede for ourselves, and pray that God would bless America once again.
Ann Graham Lotz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lori. God bless you.
This is so important. And understanding, you know, if you had somebody breaking into your home, you're going to call the police, you're going to call the chief of police, you're going to call the sheriff. When you have somebody breaking into your nation, you know, who do you call when you have things? You call on God. That's what prayer is. When we're praying to God, when we get back from the break, we're going to look more into this in regards to how you can connect up to that, begin to listen to the audio prayers, or you actually can read them and focus us, you know, begin to focus us towards God. And our God is merciful. He's kind. And think about the things that she's saying and that we've been saying as well, is that praying for delayed judgment, which would be like Josiah, where God puts things on pause. You know, we are Josiah, which you can find out. All of our VFN TV partners, by the way, you have access to these words. You need to get the precept of that. So partner, you can go to VFNTV.com, go to partner for any amount, and all these things are available for you right there. But delayed judgment is a potential thing. Softened, you know, soften the judgment, not as hard. Or maybe just forego it altogether. Either way, it's looking so intense that we got to begin to turn to. And God's merciful. God's looking for an opportunity to show himself merciful. In addition to that, we're going to talk about, is America under God's judgment, and to understand the biblical precepts of that.
This is so important. You know, the reason why someone would cry for May Day is that you're hoping someone's going to hear you.
Yes.
And then they're going to rescue you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just don't go like, I'm not going to say nothing as your plane is crashing. And specifically, and I think we have the prophetic word on the VFN torch. I mean, you need to go back and take time to, you know, you need to read prophecy. Prophecy helps you understand where you are and God letting us know what's taking place. And the Lord showed me America going down. It didn't happen under the current president's administration.
No.
It was President George W. Bush during the financial crisis, and he showed me America. He showed me America in the pilot, what do you call the pilot area of a plane, whatever it's called. Just testing him. Anyway, so
don't know. Cockpit.
Cockpit. Thank you, Director. And so the cockpit was the Oval Office, and President George W. Bush was in the Oval Office. And this is a dream. You know, this is the vision where God's giving that dream of the vision. And he's holding on to like the stick, the driving flying stick, the joystick of the aircraft, this huge aircraft called America. And he's holding on to it, and it's just diving straight down. Mm. And he's just shaking the way you would if the air is shaking. He was like a brave pilot that knew it was going down, but he's going to hold it together as long as he could. That's when Chuck Paulson comes out.
Yes, and Henry Paulson.
He goes, everything's fine. I wish we had that video for you.
2007,
like,
yes.
And then that's when they went to have the secret session, and they started coming
the bailouts.
Up the TARP programs and all that. But it was going down when, you know, America got drunk on her success or something like that's what the president said. For George W. Bush. And so when President Obama says, I inherited this thing, he did inherit it. What he inherited was all of America, where we were at, what we were doing, and the greed and all the things that was happening at that particular time. And it seems like some people said, we don't want to waste a crisis. And so that's when things started being fundamentally transformed.
Yes.
And so here we are. And so this thing is it's amazing how long that we have not yet hit. And this is crazy, because I always joke around about Star Trek, you know, because there's some fans for some reason.
Yeah.
Captain Kirk and
Serious fans.
Second Street and Pat. Anyway, so, but in this vision the Lord was showing, it was a vision, it was an encounter in the during my abiding time, was I heard this character 1960s engine room Scotty.
I don't watch the program. I heard the Scotty
accent. I had Scotty. His name was Scotty. He's an engineer. And I hear, this is what I heard in my vision. It's like, she's breaking up, Captain. She's breaking up. She's breaking up. That's British. I don't know what Irish.
No,
it don't work.
No.
Right?
No. The Directive, Southern. No, we don't want you to do this. No.
And so, you know, that was going, and it's happening. You're watching America break up, and you know, it's to blame what we've done on 530 folks who we elected, you know, to represent our country, or somebody elected somebody. You know,
following
all the bumper stickers are going now, but in other words, I saw bumper stickers that was there, and it's us and America. So that May Day is just going like we need. And the thing about May Day is your hope is that somebody's going to hear you, and you may survive the crash, which means you're going to be floating around, you know, out in the middle of the ocean somewhere, and hopefully, you know, somebody's going to come looking for you, and or you know, if you don't survive, at least they knew that you were going down. They're paying attention to you because they heard May Day.
Yeah.
And there's many nations, but when a nation begins to cry out to God, like, you know, Anne Graham Lotz is talking about here in regards to just May Day, May Day. We're crying out to a God who loves you, mm-hmm. who loves us, who loves America, who allowed America to be in the place that it is, and he's looking for us to turn so he can allow America to continue on with the plans that he intended for America. But if we don't, he will actually change his plans.
That's amazing.
For America.
That's amazing. So we talk about judgment, and I love what she said because I believe it's so accurate. Where she's talking about that God necessarily is not bringing the judgment. We can live so long in a blessed land that he just takes his hands off of us.
And the things he's been protecting us from.
That we've taken for granted.
Yes.
Absolutely taken. Clean water, safe skies, no wasting diseases. Ebola, just a few days ago.
Right.
Was taking out, you know, an entire country in Africa. I mean, they were just going down as a result of it, and they didn't even know if they could come back.
Yeah, and so you think about this. If you're diving and you're underwater and you have water all the way around you, but you're using your OBA or your breathing apparatus, your tank, and you got your respirator in, and your mask is on, you can get really, you know, cocky and think that you are sustaining yourself, and then all of a sudden your air stops.
Yeah.
And you realize I was totally dependent on this mask and this respirator and the air that was in that tank.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just you're not even paying attention to it. So your air stops. But once your air stops, John, you don't think about nothing else.
Mm.
It's amazing. All you think
except
about,
getting to the surface, right?
Yes. You look at the distance, how far it is between where you presently are and how you need to repent and get back to the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately just comes to this awareness, you know, and even the people you're thinking, like, I was diving with Pat, and he was.
What was he doing?
I can't say it.
Okay.
I can't say it, but he's grown in the Lord since then.
Okay. All right. Is this BC?
It was something about artifacts.
Oh.
Something of that nature. I don't know what it was. Breaking it off the side of the U.S.
No.
Anyway, so anyway. I didn't know it was.
You didn't know that it
was. I had no idea. So the fact that it's on his shelf and his office. Anyway, so.
Oh, wow.
So the
he no longer lives in second. He's not in Second Street now. He's not in Second Street.
No, he's in Second and a Half Street. Anyway, so you know, it just when everything shuts down, you immediately go to the survival mode. And America needs to get in the survival mode. The church in America does. We don't need to try to get everybody collectively to do something they're not going to do. The church is the one that supposedly knows God. The Christians, and so we need to go. You know, God, Mayday, 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 and God is amazing. As soon as you burst out of that water, the atmosphere that was oppressing and pressing on you called the ocean, when you come out of that and you see this big gasp of air, it's like everything changes as you know it. And that's kind of where we are. If we walk around right now and, you know, what you're talking about, what Pam was talking about, that we're like, you know, we're protected by the hand of God, but we're like this, you know, diver's respirator and the mask is on, the air tank's in the back, and all God has to do is pinch our hose. All he has to do is pull our mask off.
Yeah.
Pull out our respirator. Is he drowning us? No. When we're shaking our dusty fist at him, is the way she put it, because we're made from the dust.
Yeah.
All he says is, if you don't want me, you know, I'll take my mask, I'll take my respirator, and I'll take my air tank. Yeah. You don't realize that the water's going to come in on you. And so people say, well, God wouldn't do that. When we're telling him to leave, that we don't want his ways, we don't want his commandments, we don't want his word, we don't think that he's the one holding all things together. She says he's a gentleman and he'll step back.
Yeah.
And the water just comes. It's amazing. The instant feeling you get as soon as the whole atmosphere that was around you, didn't realize it was pressing on you. Yeah. But it just starts coming into your life, and it makes me think about, you know, what you're talking about in Joel.
Yes.
You know,
many times we've heard everyone quote Joel 2:28 that, you know, in the last days, God's going to...
Just chapter 2, not 1.
Yeah, 2:28, you know, that the outpouring young men to see visions, I think old men to see dreams or have dreams, and but they forget about Joel chapter 1.
Is there a 1?
Yes, Joel chapter 1.
She's talking about
serious.
That one. She was talking
yes,
about.
Yes.
And you're the first one I was thinking about, because I remember,
Lord put that deep on my heart, because, you know, we're praying for the outpouring. We're praying for a fresh move of God, and the protocol has always been the same. You know, repentance first, then times of refreshing.
So, it doesn't come on top of the...
No, we have to repent first, then we have times of refreshing.
Right.
And this is what Joel chapter 1 says. It says, okay. Hear this, you elders.
We're going to go to break and come back. Okay. We've got to break and come back. This is so important, because this is what she's talking about. This is what God's talking about. And we need to hear, what does repentance look like? And I think Joel 1 lets us know. I want to encourage you, sign up for the Torch newsletter. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up for it. Listen, these are so important days. Mm-hmm. These are very important days. Every source that the church has turned to that is not a light source, I believe it's going to go dark. And you got to catch our next program, because Fox News, Brett Hume was just saying this Sunday, he says that the lights are going to turn, are gradually and inevitably turning out on the broadcast, you know, like ABC, CBS, NBC, the news. And what it is God is raising up news anchors, you know, different anchors. They're going to speak prophetically about what's going on, and they're not going to apologize for it. And the only reason you would do it is because you're loved, and people want, want you to be blessed in the good news. And so, you know, she's talking about, you know, delayed judgment, softened judgment, or stopping the judgment. When you think about delayed judgments, like Josiah, and we have a teaching right there available for all of our partners for any amount whatsoever. It's called We Are Josiah. In America, we are Josiah. It's a government by the people and for the people. And if we do what's right, God pauses judgment. Or we are David. You know, God softens judgment. Okay, you're going to go through something, but I'll stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we are Jonah, you know, that we warned, and guess what? God just relented and he stopped it. And so we don't know what he's going to do, but guaranteed, if we do nothing, it's going to be horrific. Mm. So what does Joel talk about in the context of that?
Well, I was thinking about, before I read about Joel, I was thinking about, you know, so many times we're given a clarion call about just what Ann is saying right now about May Day and what we've talked about, an urgent call, but a lot of times we don't even recognize what is happening in our own country that causes us to be so vulnerable. If you just remember some of the things that we're facing, we have a porous border with, we've been talking about how Kamal Saleem has told us that there's 450,000 jihadists that are right now in the United States.
We don't even have a border. We have, actually, on VFN TV, you can go to it, where the Border Patrol agent's going, somebody says, do you need to see my ID? And they're coming into America.
Yes.
And he goes, this is the Border Patrol says that. We need to pray for these people on the border because they're somehow in between something that ain't working. And he says, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yes.
It doesn't
matter. From a Border Patrol agent himself.
Right. And it's not his fault.
No.
It's like what he does. And I was in law enforcement at times where you had certain leaders that it didn't matter what you did. It wasn't going to change anything because they weren't for what was happening at that particular time.
You have an economy that's being propped up. I mean, right now we spoke even just in a previous
being propped
program,
up, yeah, $17 trillion.
Which the IMF, International Monetary Fund, says is closer to $220 trillion when you factor in all the other issues.
Well, I was just talking to Ian Skelly this morning, and Ian was talking about they're fixing to have that meeting and potentially shift the currency that we've been talking about from the dollar being the IMF world trade currency, which is based on the oil trade out of Saudi, which basically happened to be meeting with our president at Camp David this week. So you're looking at potentially a shift where the dollar is no longer used as you have to turn your rubies into dollars before you buy oil. Overnight, we could have to actually turn our dollars into this new krona or whatever it may be. And that means what happens is you have to take a wheelbarrow full of money to go buy bread. So a cup of Starbucks. Exactly. And we have all this for you. But, you know, a cup of coffee at Starbucks could cost you $10,000. And it's because the value of the money. And this is the other thing that's been reported on the Blaze was that IMF was reportedly saying that they want to outlaw the ownership of cash and to digitize all the currency. And that's what the Lord showed me. We have this for you on the VFN Torch. God was showing me in this vision. It was a day vision. All of a sudden, he just took me into it and it was wrapped and it was gone. But imagine if you had this vacuum cleaner and it's powerful and it's just sucking things out of places. And then imagine if there's paper money stuck behind things. And so it's kind of flapping out. And all this paper money was being sucked out the face of the earth. And it was like a big vacuum at the top and like in the heavenlies. And so it was going to this one particular point. And then the whole thing just burned, caught on fire.
Wow.
And, you know, I said that. You're always going like, okay, that's what I saw. And they're talking about making cash illegal to have and digitizing the currency. Talking about shifting it from the dollar. And think about, you cannot buy or sell without having. I mean, we are entering into that time right now. And it just seems like to me, you know, Joel, we need to listen to what Joel says.
Yes, so this is what Joel says. Not to mention the 55 million abortions have taken place, by the way.
Yes, innocent bloodshed.
Thinned out military across the world and our administration's policy towards Israel. This is a May Day moment if there's ever been one. But this is what Joel 1 says.
I got to say, this is the light on my heart today. If your neighbor was being hung, if somebody went to your neighbor's house and lynched your neighbor, and that happened before in this country.
Yes.
And you did nothing about it, you know, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Now imagine, instead of all these other techniques that you think about, how they're actually taking the life of these children in America. Just imagine, this is the one way abortions will happen. We will actually lynch every child.
Wow.
The instrument we will use won't be the forceps. It won't be the saline solution where you drown the baby and burn the baby. We'll just reach into the mother's womb, we'll put a noose around that neck, and we'll pull the baby out, and we'll lynch that child. That's what's happening in America. We just, for some reason, like historically, America didn't even realize you are hanging somebody who's creating the image and likeness of God, who God loves. What are you doing? Mm. And today it's the same way. It's like we have to deal with this, the sin of. I mean, literally, we are lynching our children in the womb. And we need to understand before God, that's what it, you know, just because it's some other methodology, if that was the more convenient methodology, that's exactly what's, and there, what's good about that is somebody running for office saying, we want to lynch every child. We would say no.
Yeah.
You think about that. And so that's the sin that's before us right now in regards to that. And it's like, dear Lord, help us.
Wow. Amazing. Well, this is what Joel 1 says in context of all of this, because we just finished talking about how many people are quoting Joel chapter 2 and believing for a great outpouring of God's Spirit, which we are too, but they often forget what happened before Joel chapter 2. And this is what Joel chapter 1 says. He says, hear this, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? He said, tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. What the locusts have swarmed has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. This is utter destruction. Well,
some of the prophetic words are, it's a destroying spirit. Yeah. Remember, it's going to destroy even the things, everything's going to be destroyed. And you heard the mayor of Baltimore say, and I'm not saying this with the people's hearts were, but that spirit came and she said, leave room for those that destroy. And what Rick Joyner saw prophetically, that this is a destroying spirit, that it destroyed the very things that they would need to exist on. Mm. Remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
The cattle, the everything. And it's like, you saw the CVS drugstore get destroyed, where you probably get your medication to survive. And we're seeing, that's Joel chapter 1.
That's Joel chapter 1.
It's about to happen. I mean, you look at Waco, Texas, you know, just, you know, this last Sunday, and it's just happening as we speak in our face.
He says, wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. And you think about just America, think about the church, and just think about what's going on in our culture and in our time and in this season. We've been so lost in the blessing of God, so lost in the wealth, in the prosperity, in the resources. They just wake up. What are you doing? Wake up.
George W. Bush, he said that we got drunk on
Wall Street. Yeah.
Wall Street. On greed.
On greed.
Yeah.
And it's like,
which is idolatry, by the way.
Right.
You know, greed is idolatry. Colossians lets us know that.
And I can't help to not think about, I mean, the Lord's been laying this on my heart a lot here this week in particular, but to whom much is given and much is required, there's an obligation before God. Many of us didn't have any choice. We were just blessed to live in this wonderful land.
Well, here, if you live in America and you're healthy, just those two things.
Yeah.
You're in the top 2% of the world. Wow. So that's a huge entrustment by the creator of the universe to allow people who are probably watching and listening now to live in America. Yes. You're in the top 2% of what, 7 billion folks?
7 billion wow. people wow. just to be here.
Mayday.
Mayday.
Mayday. Mayday.
It goes on to say about a nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off the bark and thrown it away, leaving the branches white, mourned like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of your youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up and the olive oil fails. Despair, you farmers, wail, you vine growers, grieve for the wheat and barley because the harvest field is destroyed. The vine is dried up and the fig trees withered. The pomegranate, the palm, the apple tree.
Which is the economy. Everything just crashes.
It's all just
electricity, power.
Finished.
Yeah. Which brought in a brokenness.
Yeah.
So the pain brought in the people crying out.
Yeah.
So the progression to Joel chapter 2 is we're going to have to go through something.
Yeah. And this is Joel chapter 2, which verse 11 says, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number and mighty in those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. Sure. It is dreadful. And who can endure it? That's the thing. I mean, there can be a lot of enemies, but you don't want to make God your enemy. You know what I mean? You don't want to be on the wrong side of this. And verse 12 says, even now declares the Lord, even now, after all the destruction, after all this waste, after all, everything has been ruined, even now return to me with all of your heart.
All.
All. It's a very important word.
He's in love with us.
Yes.
And he's a jealous God. And it's like, you know, no more lip service. I mean, I want all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's never, I mean, he's allowing us to say, even at your worst moment, even when it's all said and
done, he still wants us.
Still wants
us. As bad as we were, as bad as they were going through, he's going, I want you.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the backslider.
Yeah.
I am. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
But oftentimes he gives us the protocol to return, and this is what he says: return.
It doesn't mean just show up.
Yeah, just show up here I am.
Yeah.
Aren't you lucky to have me, God? Here I am. No, he says, return to me with fasting, and weeping, and mourning, and with repentance.
Which is being broken. Which is being remorseful about our own decisions. Not just going, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I feel.
Yeah.
And there's like his presence brings us into that place, doesn't it?
Yes.
That the presence of God is so amazing, and the mercy of God quite often is him not manifesting his presence, because his presence judges sin. So he's going, hey, I want to get close to you, but if I get close to you right now, like a fireman puts out fire, I'm going to put you out because you got the sin in your life. You'll be like Ananias and Sapphira,
yeah,
thinking that it was about Peter. And so God's wanting to pour out his spirit upon us, but it can't happen and us survive it if, in fact, we don't return to him and being remorseful.
God's not into rewarding bad behavior. You know what I mean?
It's just like, you're separated from him. You know, our separation from God is not measured by miles. It's not measured by feet. It's not measured by inches. It's measured by sin.
Mm.
And all we have to do is take it to the cross and own it and just say, God, I'm sorry for it. And Lord, cleanse me. You know, forgive me. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. And, you know, we did that, and you can find out more at meetmyfather.org. You got on the bottom of your screen. You can see it. We shared our stories there. And then begin to abide with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. We have a simple plan for you that you can get at iabide.org. iabide.org. We got a simple plan. Get it free of charge and begin to hang out now with him so you know his voice, because these times are coming. But understand also is this outpouring that's coming after it. You know, we've been talking about, it's a mayday. It's a time to repent. We talked about Joel chapter 1. But this is, John, this is leading. Yes. God is leading. You know, this is the law as a taskmaster that brings us to the judgment of God, the intensity of the reality of our need for a Savior. Our own very sin drives us to the reality of the need for a Savior, brings us to the cross, which is God's okay with that.
Perfectly okay, because he's not interested in our comfort. He's interested in our character. And so God's going to deal with us, and we're going to have the opportunity, thank the Lord, to respond. And so after he's talking about all this judgment, if we would repent and mourn and fast and weep and come back
to
him.
What does repentance mean, the word repent mean?
It means stop doing what you were doing, the sin, right?
It doesn't mean just say something.
No, no. Acknowledge it. You know, it is real. Yes, I did take the cookie, Right. And then stop taking the cookies.
What if your parent tells a child, you need to make up your bed. He doesn't make up his bed. So if he repents, then
he starts making his bed.
But what if he misses the time? Is it over for him? I mean,
no, because you can come back to the Lord.
God knows our intentions. God knows our intentions.
Yeah. But we need to produce fruit in keeping
with
repentance.
If you never even desired to make your bed, no. And you're rebellious, and it's a whole different thing.
And it's just lip service, And God told us in the book of Isaiah, these people honor me with their heart, with their mouths, but their hearts far from me, with their lips. And so this is what the Lord says. If we return, he says, the Lord will reply. He's going to send new grain, new wine. He's going to refresh. And he said, he doesn't want to make Israel this nation of shame any longer. That's God's heart towards us. He says, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to do right
by
you.
He's a good God.
He's a good God.
And he's holding back all these terrible things from us. He's just saying, I want to keep holding you back from you.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that we desire more, but we tend not to be grateful for what we do have? It's always... Yeah.
That's the first stage of being turned over as a nation, that they failed to acknowledge God and failed to be thankful and grateful for what he was doing for him. Yeah,
because no matter how much anyone has, it's always more. That's the basement level floor. I need more. Not thankfully, I could have a whole lot less.
And we have that available for our partners too. Is America under God's judgment? Mm-hmm. You got to, it lays it out just like the word says. And you get to find out yes or no if it is. Yes. But obviously, it's looking pretty intense.
Very intense. Yeah. This is what Joel 27 says. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I, the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then he says, afterward, after all of this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And this is wonderful, verse 32, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
So God is strategizing to bring you and the nation. So anybody that would say, like, God hates you, and you're in some sin that God doesn't love you because you're not, I don't have your kind of sin. He's like, he's trying to bring us, he wants to bring us all in. You know, we're all creating the image and the likeness of God. He's got good plans in store. And it seems like, just like Anne was talking about, this could be that day.
Yes.
And think about this. If you died in the judgment, it was your day. Mm. If you were on that plane that went down because God was upset, you're standing before God to be absent for the body, is the present for the Lord. Some people are arguing eschatology, when the Lord is going to return. And 100 years ago, everybody that was arguing that are dead now.
Yes.
And they're standing in the presence of
God. It was their last day.
It was the day. And there's going to be a great loss of life, and we're already seeing it now. Sad to say, America's not kind of moved by it right now, but there's a huge loss of life that's going to be coming on the earth unless, we turn. And I think about, what Ann was talking about. Ann Lotz is talking specifically about, that we got to begin to pray. Well, you can see on her website, you can go to, and you can see on the lower part of your screen to her actual website address, but you're seeing right there. Every day she actually has it where you can read a prayer or you can listen to the prayer. And think about it. Some people are audible people, but every single day, and you can even catch up because there's been a couple of days already that's already happened. We're working our way towards Pentecost. Realize that Israel was terrified. The Jews were terrified. The Messianic believers were terrified because Jesus had gone and they were waiting for the Lord to move. And they waited at Pentecost, and suddenly a sound from heaven came, a powerful sound. And God, he birthed the church. And so this is that moment. Right now, we'll just let Ann Graham Lotz be able to be the one that closes us out in prayer today. The first prayer of each prayer, and you can go there and get it. Ann?
This is Ann Graham Lotz with a Mayday, Mayday, distress call for prayer. Pray with me now. We worship you, great God of creation, as Elohim, the strong one. You were in the beginning. You will be at the end. You always have been, and you always will be. You're the creator who brings forth something out of nothing, who formed man from dust, who turns darkness into light, who makes the world turn, who sustains all things by your powerful word. When the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing, when the rulers take a stand and gather together against the Lord, when the earth gives way, when the mountains fall into the midst of the sea, when the waters roar and foam, when nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, when everything that is familiar unravels, you're the rock on which we stand. You're our stronghold. We take refuge in you. We worship you alone. As we plunge into spiritual and moral darkness, you're our light. As political, social, racial, financial, and environmental storms break out all around us, you're our anchor. As we face terrorism's threat and vows of annihilation from our enemies, you're our shield. When there are wars and rumors of wars, when nations rise against nations and there's rioting in our streets, you're our peace. In our weakness, you're our strength. As we grieve over lost freedoms and lost futures and lost values and lost loved ones, you're our comfort. In our despair over our lack of moral leadership, you're our hope. In our confusion, when truth is spun and exchanged for a lie, you're our wisdom. In these days of desperation and confusion, we look to you and to you alone. O God, our help in ages past, this is not just a distress call for prayer. This is a distress call to you. For 1 hour each day for the next 9 days, we choose to turn away from everything else and seek your face. We turn to you. We run to you. We cling to you. We hide in you. We believe you will hear and answer our distress call because we come to you in the name of the one by whom all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We come to you in the name of the Creator who became our Savior and who has ascended into heaven to sit at your right hand with all authority placed under his feet. We come to you humbly, yet boldly, because we have been invited to come. We come to you with confidence because the way has been opened for us by the blood of your Son who sits at your right hand, who is in authority over all. We come to you with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith that you will receive us, you will listen to us, and you will answer us. Hear our prayers as we come to you in the name of Jesus, for the glory of your name. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dative Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.